Father, please open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen. When Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter day, he did not immediately return to heaven. He remained here in this world for a period of 40 days, during which he appeared on a number of occasions to various individuals and groups of people, each time convincing them that he really was alive. And then, at the end of 40 days, he returned to heaven. And so, starting last Sunday and for the next few weeks until Ascension Tide, we'll be looking at these resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus and the impact they had on those who encountered him. And certainly at 8 o'clock, I'm not quite sure what happened at 11:15, was a little bit different from usual, I think, but I guess even at 11:15 last Sunday, you looked at the first of Jesus' resurrection appearances early in the morning on the very day that Jesus rose. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden near the tomb where they'd laid his body. And at first, she didn't recognize him. So today we're looking at an eye-opening journey. It's now the afternoon of that first Easter Sunday. And two of Jesus' disciples are walking to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, apart from the fact that one of these disciples is called Cleopas, which is a man's name, we aren't told anything at all about them. I always used to assume that they were both men, but I guess it's possible that the other disciple was Cleopas' wife. Be that as it may, as they walk along together, they're deep in conversation about everything that had taken place that weekend. The crucifixion of Jesus on the Friday, the discovery of the empty tomb by the women early that Sunday morning, and their story about seeing two angels. How Peter had gone to look for himself and confirmed that the women weren't mistaken, the tomb really was empty. And as these two disciples are discussing all these things, Jesus himself draws alongside them. And at first, like Mary Magdalene, they don't recognize him. Now, Luke tells us here in the passage that Kat just read to us that they were kept from recognizing him. The literal translation says their eyes were held not to recognize him. And I'm inclined to agree with those scholars who suggest it was the Lord himself who somehow prevented them from recognizing him. And from the passage we just heard, it's clear that Cleopas and his companion, they were convinced that Jesus was dead. And so he would have been the last person they expected to bump into on the road. And for the time being, Jesus seems content to leave them in the dark. And instead, he opens a conversation with them by asking, What are you discussing together as you walk along? Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Don't you know what's been happening there this last few days? One of them says. What things? Jesus says, innocently. I'm wondering if he was teasing them. If he wasn't actually teasing them, he was certainly trying to tease something out of them. He was drawing them out. And out it all pours. Their disappointment, their dashed hopes. We had hoped. He was the one who was going to redeem Israel, one of them says. Meaning, of course, that they were expecting Jesus to somehow set Israel free from the grip of the Roman occupying forces. And clearly, they still had no idea that everything that had happened that weekend was all part of God's plan, all according to God's will. Now, I guess at this point, Jesus could have put them out of their misery by identifying himself to them and letting them recognize him. But he doesn't. Instead, he gently rebukes them for their failure to believe their scriptures. And as they walk along together, he does a sort of Bible study with them. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, we're told, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, of course, in all the scriptures, we're talking about basically the Old Testament, our Old Testament. And how I would love to know exactly which passages Jesus turned to and how he interpreted them as referring to himself. The passage that immediately comes to mind for me is the one about the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53. But actually, there are lots of passages in the Old Testament that when somebody opens your eyes to see it, you realize they are referring to Jesus. Prophetic passages that say exactly what's going to happen, what needs to happen to the Messiah. But even when you know your Bible, as I guess those two on the Emmaus Road did, it's still not possible for it all to sink in, or it's still possible for us not to take it on board. As I said, those two disciples probably knew their Bible or their scriptures. But when we don't even know what the scriptures say, how can we hope to recognize Jesus if we are privileged enough to encounter him? It's in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments, that we find out what God wants us to know. What God wants us to know about himself, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about ourselves, about the world we live in and where it's heading. I've no idea how far along the road those two disciples were when Jesus began his tour of Moses and the prophets. But bearing in mind that Emmaus is about as far from Jerusalem as Ashton is from Glossop. That's the sort of distance they were walking. So I wouldn't mind betting they had considerably more than 15 or 20 minutes of Bible exposition. You know, if the only exposure to the scriptures you're getting is here in church on a Sunday morning, you're not getting enough. So finally, Cleopas and his companion reached their destination, and Jesus makes as if to carry on. But by now the evening's drawing on, and it'll soon be dark, when it's not safe to be out alone on a lonely road. So they urge him to stay with them, still not recognizing that it is Jesus. And Jesus graciously accepts their hospitality. Don't know about you, but this reminds me of that verse that's often quoted, usually quoted out of context, but still relevant. That verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, in this vision to John says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Isn't that what happened with these disciples? And as they sit down to eat, I'm guessing they ask Jesus to say grace, even though they still don't realize who he is. And doing what the head of the house would normally do at every meal, Jesus takes a bread in his hands, he breaks it, and he gives a piece to each of those disciples. And in so doing, he opens their eyes to recognize him. And then he promptly vanishes from their sight. A remarkable story. No wonder our hearts were on fire as he opened the scriptures to us on the road, they say to each other. And with no more ado, they get up from table and set off back to Jerusalem. Can you imagine if you'd just walked from Glossop to Ashton, turning round and walking back? That's apparently what happened. The despair, the disappointment, the doubts, all dispelled. They can't wait to tell the other disciples all about it. And when they arrive back at the house where the disciples are assembled, what do they find? Apparently, Jesus has appeared to Simon Peter. Now, that's all we're told. We're not told exactly how, where, and when. Just that Jesus has appeared to Simon Peter, and that whole group of disciples are buzzing with the news. They'd poo-pooed the women's story earlier in the day, but if Simon Peter had seen the risen Lord, it must be true. And while they're still all talking about it, Jesus himself is suddenly standing in the midst among them. Come back next week and we'll deal with that. We're here today. The church exists today because real people actually saw, spoke with, touched and ate with the Lord Jesus during the 40 days following his resurrection from the dead. They actually encountered the risen Lord Jesus. We don't believe he rose from the dead simply because the tomb was empty. We believe he rose from the dead because reliable eyewitnesses saw him, spoke to him, touched him, ate with him. And they were so affected by those encounters that they couldn't keep the good news to themselves. In fact, Some of them were prepared to die rather than deny what they knew to be true. And down through the ages, others have believed their message. And in turn, they've come to know the living Lord Jesus for themselves. There's another golden oldie song that, or hymn, that I thought we probably didn't know that one. Whether we knew the one we've already sung, I don't know, but I thought we probably didn't know that one. But there's one that the chorus says, "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." People down through the ages who've believed the message of those original disciples and who in turn have come to know the living Lord Jesus for themselves and been so affected that they just had to pass on the good news. Let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, set our hearts on fire, as you did those of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Reveal yourself to us as the one who did indeed die, but is now well and truly alive forevermore. Renew our hope and rekindle our joy. And then inspire and embolden us to share the good news with others. For your holy name's sake, amen.